Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, worship team. Thank you all for being here. My goodness. What a joy it is to stand in this pulpit. You just don't know what it's like to stand behind a man like this. But it's good, and we're so grateful for what God was doing. And I'm telling you, Grace House is walking point. Don't you think? I mean, don't you sense that God has put a call on us, and that we are walking point? And so I'm glad to be. I'll just clean the bathrooms. I just won't be here. So, in a way. But God is good, and I want to get into some things here tonight. It's this season of the year is, here we are in the shadow of Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be thankful. I don't know about you, but it's a lot easier for me to complain about it than it is to be thankful for it. You probably don't have that problem. I tell people one of my most challenging scriptures is over in Philippians, where Paul said, "Do all things without grumbling and complaining." I tore that page out 3 times. It kept growing back. I don't know if God's trying to say something to me or not, but anyway, it's my heart tonight to share with you about what I call the power of Thanksgiving. I think we all have a choice, and in that choice, we can give honor and glory to the Lord, and I think we want to do that. So if you have your Bible, go over to Colossians. I think I have it here somewhere in my Bible. Colossians chapter 2, and look at with me something that Paul says to the church at Colossae, and as I look at it, I find a challenge in my own heart and in my own life. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to find it in a minute. Here we go. In this chapter, look at verse 6, chapter 2, Paul says, "If or as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." That's a mandate. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught." Now, I want you to see this word, abounding. Actually, the Greek translation is super abounding. Well, let's read it like that. Let me go back and start over. That we as believers are to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, super abounding in it. How? With thanksgiving. Well, that's a challenge to me. Paul said, as you have gotten saved, walk in that. Now let's look at it with, if you would, for a minute. Look at verse 7. We are rooted in Christ. Our root is not Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Pentecostal. Our root is Jesus. You know, he is our root. He's the root of our life. And so we are rooted in him. And actually, it says build up in him. We are continuously being built up in our root, who is Christ. And then he said, established in the faith. So you got three things that jumps out at me. We're rooted in Christ. We're built up in Christ. We are established in what we believe about what I just said. Then Paul goes, as you were taught, super abounding in it. What's the word? In it. It what? It that I'm rooted. It I'm built up. Hallelujah. It I'm established in the faith. So when I have opportunity to grumble and complain, I need to remember that I'm rooted in him. I'm built up in him. Come on now. And then I'm established in the faith that I believe in him. So what do I need to do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know that Our nation has set aside a day, thank God that our nation has what we call Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is something I desire, and I try to operate in a level of it and fail rather miserably. But I want to live with a thankful heart. There's power in it, and we'll show that tonight. Look at the next verse. Paul uses a word in the New King James. Look at the word beware. Beware. Take notice. Now, he doesn't break his thought. He's extending. Look at it. Beware lest anyone cheat you, rob you, get you sidetracked. And then he's going to give us some things that sidetrack us. He said through philosophy. You know what philosophy is? That's man's idea. I'm using biblical language. That's man's idea. Empty deceit. It's deception with no God life in it. And then he says, in the tradition of men. You know, we don't realize how much of the tradition of men we have surrounding us. Now, if I've understood this correctly, and you can help me, Pastor, this is how the traditions of men, when the scribes would move the scripture from one place to another and they were writing it, they would write in the margins of the word their opinion or the opinions of others about what that scripture said. Over time, what started to happen is when they transcribed that, when they rewrote it into another parchment, then they would write in the margin the opinion or the ideas or the traditions of other folks, and it became as authoritative as the text itself. It was called the traditions of men. Why? I remember Dudley Hall saying one time, they were having a Thanksgiving dinner, and he happened to look down there, and Betsy, who's in heaven now, had cooked a ham, and one end of it was cut off. And he just thought, well, I'll just ask, you know, why, Betsy, did you cut the end of the ham off? So I brought up the question, Betsy, why do you cut the end of the ham off? Well, because my mama did. Well, mama was sitting there, and I said, well, mama, why did you cut off the end of a ham? She said, well, one Thanksgiving, the ham was too big for the pan, and I cut one end of it off, and we've been cutting it off ever since. The traditions of men. If you ask yourself, why do we do what we do? I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm saying don't let the traditions that's been handed down, this is the way we do it. And we're not, what does the text say? Don't read the margin. Look at the text. Come on now. Not the margin, which is the opinion. You know, I know these preachers sitting out here. I find a scripture, I say, I don't understand that. And I read 10 commentaries, and neither one of them understood it either. I notice in commentaries, if you don't get it, they probably don't get it either. So the tradition of men, he said, don't let the traditions of men and the basic principles of the world, don't let that sidetrack you. Now, what he's saying is, watch out, because you are called to abound in thanksgiving. Okay, Lord, so I want to get up and face my day. I was talking to some folks here a little bit ago. You know that scripture in Psalm 118, I think it is, where the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I've heard it, especially in charismatic circles. Bless God, this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And it is true, but that's not what the text says. In Psalm 118, the psalmist is talking about the day that Christ was rejected. He's talking about the cross. And this is what he said. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So here I am living now on a Wednesday night, and I can go back. I can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, what am I doing? I'm rejoicing right now. Every morning when we have communion together, Jim can tell you, I say this, I decree this is the day the Lord has made because of that day, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You just got your cat run over and your dog died, and you're supposed to get them, so praise God for a dead dog and a dead cat. That's not what that says. It says, thank God that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What are you doing? You are thanking God today, and before you know it, you are in a thankful mood because of that day. So here's Paul's word. I want to just look at some scriptures with you. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You know this one well, but I want to look at it with you. Verse 18 of chapter 5. Listen to that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus for you. This is it. Paul said, what's the will of God? To be thankful. This is the will of God for me to give thanks. But notice what it says. I mean, I know we get under conviction. I do. But in everything, give thanks. Well, you know, preacher, it's just like somebody said, we preach it, we don't do it. It's easy to preach it. Doggum, living is another matter. And it's easy for you to hear it, but the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now, how do you do that? How do you say, in everything give thanks? I remember many, 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 many times situations and things that's happened to you and all of us. Well, I don't know what we're going to do about this, but you told me in everything give thanks. Here's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to say, you didn't do this, but you're bigger than this. So I'm going to thank you that you are you, and I'm rooted in who you are, and I'm being built up in my faith. So therefore, in spite of this sickness, in spite of this, I'm going to say, Jesus is Lord, the throne is occupied, and he lives in me, and I overcome through him. Hallelujah. So I thank you. Ain't not a lot better than fussing and carrying on. It's easy. All you got to do to fuss and grumble and complain is knock it out of gear. It'll just float that way. Have you ever noticed that? You ever know that the current is to take you right back to where you came from? But the Lord said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Well, let me give you another one. And this one's even more challenging. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says this, giving thanks always for all things. And I mentioned it in that other point. Here it is. I read it. Giving thanks always for all things. What do you do when things happen to you that you didn't have anything to do with and you know God didn't either? How do you deal? How do you keep a thankful heart when you didn't do it and you know the devil's doing it? God's not doing it. How do you keep a thankful heart? Jesus. I said a while ago, you're bigger than this. You're bigger than this. Lord, I lost a loved one and my heart is broken. Lord, you're bigger than this. I can remember a number of years ago a situation very close to June and I, and it was breaking my heart. I mean, it really was. So I was having a hard time that day, and so I just walked downstairs at our house, foot of the steps. I just stopped. I was just bawling. Which my water level is pretty high anyway, but I was just crying. And I said, Lord, I've got to have some help. Now, and I heard that voice that I'm familiar with in my heart. This is what he said. Will you trust me? Well, then, what am I going to say? I don't trust you. I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. That's all he said. Well, don't you know that immediately you think everything's just going to be all right? It wasn't. It just got worse and worse until it terminated. And you know, when I'd revert back to that moment where I was at the foot of the stairs, I would get my emotions back and I'd hear this little voice say, but you said you would trust me. Now listen, I have a word for somebody. You can trust God when you can't figure it all out. You can trust God when you don't know why, but he's still trustworthy. So so you can thank him for being who he is. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad we can do that? By the grace of God, I can say thank you. And so that's what, I think that's what Paul is saying. I mean, you know the story of the, and I keep referring back to it, but I remember the day that Gina and I were at the doctor's office. The doctor gave the diagnosis. You have the fastest growing cancer anybody can have. So we go home. What do we do? What do we do, Lord? And we got the word. She got the word. I got the word. Both got the same word at the same time. Came back, sat down. I said, honey, what is God saying to you? And she said, he told me, I'll see you through this. Of course, I'm crying again. And I said, he told me the same thing. So I've got the word. She's got the word. I'll see through this. A lot of precious, God-loving, loved us, precious people. Now, you and Jim need to do this. And it was good advice. But when you get a word, you unpack. Put your tin up. Get your 30-06 and stand at the door. And don't move over what you've heard. Do you understand what I'm saying? And be grateful that you've got the, you can trust the Lord. So we followed it out. I mean, we just did that. We thanked the people and we're grateful, but we never moved. By God's grace, we never moved. So went through the whole process, and she's in the process of treatment after surgery. And so the doctor comes in and says, in the middle of treatment, Michelle, you don't need any more treatment. You don't have cancer anymore. Don't you think God is? You can thank God for that. Do you understand? I mean, how many of you know when things happen that are devastating, you can get down in the mully grubs and you're walking on your lower lip. How many know there's some people, if you gave them a new Tesla, that's the upcoming, you know, the Tesla. You could give them a new one and say, here it is, it's yours, I give it to you. You know, they would say, how do you think I'm going to pay the insurance on that thing? Come on now. I mean, isn't that a heart that has conditioned itself not to know how to give thanks for life? Bless God, we got up this morning. Hallelujah. I had food before I came. I'm going to get in a vehicle, Lord willing, when we leave. Say, how old is it? It's old. But we're not making payments on it. Hallelujah. But before you know it, you think, well, praise God, I got up this morning. I've eaten three times today. And June's still here. I got a great church. My God, when you look around, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what God's after. Why don't we just revert that thing and say, Lord, you're bigger than this. I'm going to trust you. And Lord, I'm just going to say, I believe you will see me through this. So when I look at that and think about June here, and she wouldn't give up. She just jumped in there, and like somebody said, like a rusty fish hook. That's a real manly term, you know, rusty fish hook. Women would never say that. But I want to spend the rest of my time in one that you're even more familiar with. Because I think tonight on Thanksgiving that God would have us volunteer to do some things. I mean, by choice. Count me in. And it's over in Luke chapter 17. You know it by heart. It starts in verse 11, goes down to 19. And here it is. I'll read portions of it, then I'll refer to it. It happened as Jesus went through Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Here's the situation. He now has 10 lepers standing at a distance, and that's what they did, as you know. Hollered, I'm unclean, unclean, unclean. So there's 10 lepers. And so Jesus heard them as they lifted up their voices, and they said, "Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now watch this. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, they took the step of faith that Jesus said, "Go show you." And as they went, all of them were cleansed. All ten. And it's amazing to me. When I look at that in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw, I'm sitting at the desk where I came tonight. And I've underlined it in my Bible. He saw. He was healed. Don't you think the other nine saw it too? But he saw. That Samaritan. Jesus called him a foreigner. That Samaritan saw. He was healed. When he saw how blessed he was, the other nine kept walking. The one turned around, came back when he saw. Come on now. See how powerful that was? When he saw. When he saw how blessed he was. That a few minutes ago, I was a leper. Now the leprosy's gone. I saw that. And he responded. By what? He went back to Jesus, fell at his feet. The scripture tells you, you know it well. Look at 6. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. The word thanks has the root of the word grace. It's the word charis, is the root. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. When this former leper said thank you, he's releasing what's in here, out here, and it's grace. Let me stop here. Y'all are wonderful folks. That's not in question, all right? Thank God for you guys. Let's be people with thankfulness. When you're at Walmart and you're getting checked out, "Thank you, ma'am. Hope you have a good day." Won't cost you anything. Probably won't get you elected. But you know what you did when you said thank you? You have released a grace to that recipient that heard what you said. Every time. When you go to the restaurant, it's so easy. I mean, this is not the way I wanted it. And I mean, there's a place for that, of correcting that. But when he or she's waiting on you, and about the second time they come, "Would you like some more drink?" "Thank you." If it's a lady, "Thank you, ma'am, for waiting on us. You're sure doing a good job. Didn't cost you a dime." But when you said thank you, you have from your heart, out to your mouth, you have released a grace on your waiter. Do you understand? Did you know in our town, people who work in restaurants don't work Sundays? They say it's the worst day of the week. We can change it. We can just change it. "I want to work on Sunday." Them are the most grateful people I've ever seen. They just say thank you, and they send thank you all the time. And you know, don't spend $50 on your meal and leave 25-cent tip. Amen. And a track. Come on now, y'all. I'd say that sarcastically. But come on now. I remember, this is fun. I remember in this particular restaurant we used to go when I was pastoring, frequent often, because we could run in and get, anyway. And that one particular day, this lady waited, and the Lord told me to give, it was more than I would normally give. I mean, I got into money, but I did what the Lord said. And you know, and every time I came through that door, she watched for me, and she wanted to get me because she thought she was going to get another one, just like she got. You know, a thankfulness is expressed in all kinds of ways. But I can tell you this, it's got the power of God wrapped around it, and it's got the grace of God in it that gives it to people that you say thank you to. Hallelujah. You know, it's like the fellow said, "What would you do if you was out in the middle of the river drowning and somebody came by in the boat? Would you say to them, Are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Come on. I would reach up my hand and say, I need help. Thank you for coming by. When he saw that he was healed, he turned around and went back and fell at the feet of the Lamb of God and said, thank you for healing me. And then in the whole story, Jesus said in the last verse, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you sozo. You not only have gotten your body healed, you've gotten your spirit healed. Thanksgiving is always a step forward, never a step backward. You can't back up and say thank you. It's always this way. And I'm not saying thank you for evil. I'm saying thank you in spite of. And this Thanksgiving would be a good time for every one of us. Start with me. Lord, I want to be, do you realize there were 10 of them, one of them came back to say thank you. That's only 10%. 10% of America. What if I can tell you what some folks need to do, and I know this is ugly, but I'm going to say it. Some folks need to leave the United States and go to some of these foreign countries and stay about 6 months and come back. They'll be grateful too. I'm going to tell you right now. The very day that I stood out in Kenya, I stood, Pastor, with a 100-pound bag of brown beans, and I was dipping them out, and there was a line of ladies with their old buckets to get beans, and I looked and I saw about four or five down there was an African lady with her bent-up bucket, tears running down her face, because she was grateful for what she was about to get. Conviction was the times that I was not grateful, but I wanted to be. And I said, Lord, forgive me. It's amazing. Do you ever notice you walk by the wall switch, you flip it, light comes on. You're a little hot, turn it down, cool, no problem. It hadn't been that long ago till tornadoes decided to come by our house and put a tree right above our driveway. For 8 days, we couldn't flip it. We didn't have any power. Can I tell you what happened when he came on? I began to prophesy, speak in tongues, and give prophetic words to the whole world. I've got electricity, hallelujah. But you know, what happened is I got used to flipping the switch. Do you know that we have people in America that think they'll never lose what they have, and there's no possibility of it? Don't be deceived. Let's just be grateful. Thank God. Amen. And I'm on in here. My family was always close, as June's family was also, and all our siblings and parents are now in heaven. But my dad had a massive stroke. And it was in the unit, Gadsden, Alabama. And I thought, maybe I'll never get to talk to him again. And so I went in and I stood by his bed and I told him, though he was unconscious, I told him how much I loved him, how much I appreciated him, and how grateful and thankful I was that he was my daddy, that I could call him daddy. He never moved, never said a word, but I looked and the tears were running down his face. He heard me. It wasn't me. It was his son saying, thank you. When he did survive that, never was what he was before the stroke, but he survived and lived a number of years after. I asked him if he remembered. He had no recollection of it. But what if tonight, what if this season, you just decided to take a time with your spouse and say, honey, let me talk to you a minute. I just don't want to take for granted your life, and I want to say thank you for being my wife or husband, thank you. What if you sat down to Thanksgiving dinner, if you do that? Well, before you pray over all that and fight against the spirit of gluttony, and which we all do on Thanksgiving Day, what if you just stopped to your kids and go, thank you. Thank you that God let you be born in our family, and we're grateful, and we want to say thank you. What would happen if we spent just to the end of the year? What if we just looked for every opportunity to say to somebody, thank you, thank you, thank you. And come back on the 1st of January, let everybody tell what's happened to them since these weeks have passed. I can tell you what will happen. God will have taken every one of us to another level of seeing how good and great he really is. Because the Bible said when we give thanks, we bring glory to his name. And we release the grace of God. Amen. So, I think we all want to volunteer for the 10%, don't you? I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be the 90%. Because look what God's done. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. Fell under conviction at 5 and I'm 23 years old in that little Methodist church. I'm at the altar bawling my eyes out begging God to save me. And the lay leader of the church said, pray, Doc. I said, I already prayed. He said, pray again. And I looked down the altar. There was June. And a little further, and her sister, all three of us were getting saved. Do you think all of us don't have a reference point to say thank you? Come on now. I mean, when you get to thinking about it, that's all you can do is say thank you. So I thank you for that I got saved. Thank you for June. Thank you for the faith. I thank God for Grace House. I thank God that June and I are at Grace House under the ministry of Pastor Ed and Miss Mickey. I thank God for that. You don't know how many times we've said, Lord, thank you that you brought us here. And in that way, go, tell somebody before you leave tonight, thank you. Thank you. We pastored down near Ellick City, and there were some old boys down there. They talk a little different. You know, they kind of got a real southern drawl down there. Wonderful folks. But some of the guys that were in our church graduated, and they went on their senior trip, and they told me this. So they went to New York, and they was ordering breakfast. These old boys from New Sight. And he looked one up and said, you want eggs? Yeah, I want some eggs. How you like them? He said, God, I like them. That's a miscommunication, but at least he was grateful. So let's bow our heads together and... I want your heads are bowed. Andrew's coming. I want to be the first to step up here. How many of you tonight with me would say, Brother Doc, tonight in my heart, I ask the Lord to forgive me for all that grumbling and complaining. We've all been there and done that and still fight against it. But Lord, help us tonight to make a decision in our heart to say, I want to be the one who came back and said thank you. And you go, well, I mean, you know, what would you want me to do? Volunteer. Lord, give me grace to be the one that came back. If, while every head's bowed, nobody's coming to you, if that's you, and you would say to the Lord, forgive me for my grumbling and my complaining, but tonight, by God's grace, as I end this year and go into the next one, I want to be the one that came back to say thank you. If that's you, would you put your hand up and put it back down? Just put it up, put it back down. I want to be that one. I want to be the one that says thank you. Isn't that wonderful? So, Lord, thank you tonight for every hand lifted, for those that wanted to be. And I thank you, Lord, that as we leave tonight, we can say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe our altar workers, if they would come, anybody that might need ministry tonight. And Pastor, I guess I'll turn it back over to you and let you do what you want to from here.
Certainly want to pray with anyone who may need prayer, but can we thank the Lord for this message tonight and for using Pastor Doc? Yeah. Amen. Right on target. And thank God for the opportunity to repent from all that complaining, right? Let's stand together. Maybe there's other concerns that are on your heart tonight. What a wonderful time in this atmosphere in this place tonight for you to come and just let someone pray with you. It makes a difference, and it matters. We believe in the power of prayer. And sometimes just being honest and sharing that need, it opens the way for the Spirit of God to begin to do something through that honesty and that confession. And then add a little faith to that, get somebody praying, and some good stuff, some God stuff can happen. So if you need prayer tonight while we worship for a moment, we'll be releasing you in just a moment, but just come on up. We have folks here that will agree with you in prayer. Love on you. Let's worship.